The first scripture reading this morning will be from Psalms 25, the 6th verse through the 12th. The psalm asks God to forgive him and to not remember his sins. He asks for a pardon based upon the steadfast love of the Lord. We can rest assured that God will answer and will forgive. Listen now to God's word for today. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? This is the scripture from the first reading.
So we were driving home yesterday from the confirmation class retreat, which every year is something, and I'm involved in it, it's something I look forward to. I love spending time with the youth, and we went over all that they had learned during the year, as well as learned some new things, we hope, about the love and the nature of God. It's a beautiful day driving home. The sun was out. We had Taylor Swift on. It's the only CD I have in my car, so that's what we were able to listen to. And as we were driving home, I was thinking of you all, and I was thinking of today, and I was thinking how it's almost a non sequitur, because we just spent the whole weekend, or at least that whole day, in celebration. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. We had a really, really good time during that time. We laughed a lot, but it seemed like a non sequitur, especially thinking of you all and thinking that we lost another one of our own in Gary Meyer yesterday morning. Who passed away, and thinking of Lent, and that, you know, when we focus on Lent and when we focus on the messages that we find in Lent, we think especially of our sin and those things that cause us to be separated from God. When I thought of the sermon title, When Forgiveness Hurts, it did almost seem like it didn't match with what I had just experienced over the weekend. But then, on the other hand, I remembered what we shared last week when we talked about the original sin, and today we're kind of seeing the flip side of the original sin. What happens when we are the ones who experience the sin against us, right? How are we able to forgive, or what's our mindset when we are confronted with that reality in our own lives? How can we forgive? Do you all notice, and I know you all have seen it in me, but the older we get, the harder we have in remembering things, right? I always say, because I get older faster than you all. And we say this sometimes in jest, but I'm someone who 10 years from now, I will be the same age as my father when he first had Alzheimer's. I don't have a lot of time to work, folks, so y'all better stay with me now. So that provides a touch of reality, right? That provides a touch of recognition that, wow, that's not that far away. That is actually just coming up right around the corner. Some of us, we have to have things in our lives that spark a memory, so it helps us to say, oh yeah, I remember that. It reminds me of a friend of mine who just recently went to the doctor because he was having trouble with his memory. And the doctor, true story, said, you know, you suffer from a severe brain disorder. The doctor said, on the left side of your brain, there is nothing right. And on the right side of your brain, there's nothing left. True story. Okay, it's not. But I personally, I know the importance of memory. And it's attested throughout Scripture that there's a close connection, and maybe you've never thought of it this way, but there's a close connection between memory and forgiveness. Think about it. Memory and forgiveness are connected. They're related. Forgiveness is based upon God having a very strong memory. But boy, we are really counting on God also to have a bit of amnesia, right? God, don't remember. God, remember. And that's what the psalmist says. If you look at Psalm 25, you hear him playing that back and forth. Remember your mercy. Remember your steadfast love. But while you're at that, just stay focused on that because I want you to forget my sins. You see that going back and forth. I know some of us are accused of selective hearing at times or listening. Well, we'll hear the psalmist and also Paul, as we get to our Roman scripture, is asking God to have a selective memory so that we can be forgiven. I wonder how many of us actually do remember what God has done for us day in and day out. It's so easy, as Karen said, and as every Sunday we say and you hear, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We can say that. Boy, it feels good saying that. But what has happened to allow us to say that? What has happened to allow us to receive that and make that a part of who we are? And obviously believe it as well. It's easy for us to forget the pain, the hurt that Christ had to experience in order for us to be forgiven, because we don't want to think about that. It's Sunday. Let's talk about and think about good things, fun things. When we forget at what cost we received our forgiveness, we can also easily forget that our lives ought to be filled with forgiveness for others that at times maybe even hurts a bit. Let's remember that. Let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 4. We're making our way through Paul's letter, verses 1 through 8 of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Let's start at verse 1. Apostle Paul is speaking and he states, "What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But no one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is recognized as righteousness. And so also David speaks of the blessedness of those to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon sin." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we do come before you now on this Sunday morning, and we ask you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as we were driving to Karen Cooper's cabin, I like to say that, it's an alliteration. As we were making our way to Karen Cooper's cabin, we passed along the exit for Gettysburg. I've never been to Gettysburg. I've never seen the memorials that are there for the Civil War. What was the one before the Civil War? The War of Independence. Which one was it? Civil War? See, I've never been there, so I don't know. I should know my history. I do know that. And I've also never been to the 9/11 memorial, the one in Pennsylvania. I haven't seen that either. But I have been to a number of other memorials around our country, in Philadelphia and Valley Forge, out west in the Alamo. I've seen a number of them, and in each of these places, actually my favorite one is, as you would imagine, is in Atlanta, where I'm able to see the church and the home of Martin Luther King Jr. But in each of these, you have memorials, or you have something erected that helps us to remember the events and the occurrences that have happened in our nation's history. These earmarks of time that we're able to remember and look back and say, that has had a significance and has played a role in who we are as a nation and as a people. And in each of these places, and many others like them in our nation's history, these memorials are erected to remind us so that we can be inspired to live the ideals that were put forward by a person or learn from the lessons that were taught at that place because of an event. Did you know that children up to a certain age, at a certain age, obtain something that is called object permanence? Have you ever heard that term? Object permanence. So a child who doesn't yet have object permanence, if you take their toy and you're playing with their toy and then you hide it behind their back, your back, or you hide it behind their back too, they will think that that object is gone. It's completely disappeared. They don't realize that it still exists. That's why peekaboo is so fun, right? Because you've disappeared, or your eyes have, and then you say peekaboo, and they think it's hilarious because all of a sudden, wait, I thought you were gone. Wait, no, there you are. Because they haven't quite developed that object permanence. An important, it's a term that again describes that in a child, but it's an important phase in their life where they're able to recognize that the object that they cannot see actually exists. When they get to that stage in their life where they can actually recognize that just because I don't see it, it still exists. Until that time, out of sight is out of mind, and in fact, it doesn't even exist. Now, throughout Scripture, we find people of faith who suffer from a lack of object permanence. Think about it. Moses, when he left the people of Israel to go up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from God, as soon as he was gone, the people asked Aaron to build something to take his place because Moses no longer existed. And they broke that commandment even before God was able to give it to them. Same thing happens with Jesus. Think of Jesus as Jesus is put in the grave. His disciples go back home, lock the doors, go back to fishing, go back to their regular way of life, forgetting that Jesus was actually still alive. You see, for them, their salvation was predicated upon the actual physical presence of Jesus. And Jesus comes back and tells them, "No, your faith has made you well, not my physical presence." Likewise, we are forgiven. But unless we remind ourselves of what that actually means, unless we remind ourselves of the price that was paid for that, then we're likely to go on in our lives forgetting our forgiveness and forgetting that we ought to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. Paul, in chapter 4, let's go ahead and look at those first verses. He begins by lifting up one of the most important people in Israelite history, the one who's lifted up as the father of Judaism, so Father Abraham. If you look at the very beginning of those verses in chapter 4, Abraham is considered righteous not because of what he did. He was forgiven not because of his works, but because he remembered who he was in respect to God. He believed that God was able to work in his life. And so as Paul quotes from Genesis 16, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. His life was a walk down memory lane as he remembered what God had done for him and what he in turn now is responsible to do for God. And we find the same thing in the New Testament. We find in the New Testament community, we remember the price that Christ had to pay for our own forgiveness. If we forget that hurt on the cross, then we can forget also how important it is. If we take our forgiveness as something that is due to us, almost Paul uses the word wages, almost as if it's a payment for the type of life that we are living, because of what we have done or because of what we believe, if we consider that being our pay, then our forgiveness stops being a result of God's grace. Grace that was so powerful that Jesus had to die, had to suffer, had to hurt. Back in Psalm 25, what we read first, we are forgiven because our sins are covered at great cost and sacrifice. And this covering was in Christ's blood. It's not what we did. And we're not forgiven because we have done some good works, or because we walked down the aisle at age 7, or because we raised our hand and said, I believe. That's not why we are forgiven. But rather, it is God who reckoned us through that what Jesus Christ did, and he reckoned it as righteousness. That's why we celebrate Lent. That's why some of you may come from traditions that don't have these seasons in the church, but that's why we do that, to remind ourselves of all that Christ has done, and to spend a period of time where we focus upon the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus. It helps, because it does remind us. It draws us back into what he has been able to accomplish, and so in return, what we are able then to do in our lives as well. But some of us may want to boast about our faith. We may want to tell people about how many we have brought to Christ so that we can get credit and people will say what a good worker you are. Some of us may be focused on making sure that we do everything that we can so that the numbers grow and grow and that we are on the cutting edge of everything so that people can come streaming in. Oh, I would love that. It's happening to a small degree, but that's not our purpose. I've always understood that our purpose is to do the will of God, and then what happens is up to God. Paul says, not even Abraham, who was the pioneer of our faith, was able to boast. So who do we think that we are, thinking that we're able to boast? So lest none of us forget, and we should never forget, the one whose act of forgiveness hurt him so much that he had to give his life for us. Jesus was a non-combatant who laid down his life for us. Our forgiveness, it wasn't painless. It hurt. And forgiveness hurts sometimes when it strikes close to home. We are more than willing to accept it, but do we recognize at what cost we are accepting it? Paul tells us, blessed are those at the end of, in verse 7 and 8, he quotes from the psalmist, and he states, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. We are the blessed, and the Lord will not reckon our sin. I want all of us today to take a walk down memory lane and remember what it took in order for us to be forgiven, and whether we allowed that forgiveness that we experience in Christ to be reflected in our lives. How is that reflected in our lives? As a nation, we know that if we forget the past, then we are destined to repeat it. At a personal level, we know that those of us who forget that we are forgiven are destined not to forgive others. Do we forgive others as our Father in heaven forgives us? Do we remember that Jesus said we are to forgive 70 times 7, which is more than our life will encompass. Forgiveness hurts when it's up to us to forgive. It feels great when we receive it, but how often we forget at what price we were able to receive it. Jesus Christ on the cross, we obey, even when it hurts, because of his forgiveness and the earthly and spiritual freedoms that we are then able to receive from him. Remember when Jesus was arrested and Peter took a sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Jesus healed the ear, looked at Peter and said, "No more of this. No more of this." Forgiveness is when God looks at our suffering and our pain and states, "No more of this," and sends his son to die for us. Forgiveness is when we in turn are able to say to those who are suffering and in pain, "No more of this. I know of someone who died for you." You see, our forgiveness hurt Christ tremendously, but it gave us life. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon sin. And that's us. May God keep us in the palm of his hand and always smile upon us. Amen. Loving Lord, we do come before you today. We give you thanks and praise because we recognize that we don't deserve the forgiveness which you have given us. And in this Lenten season, and in this time when we are to focus upon what we saw last week, our sin, and how it separates us from you, today we look at that forgiveness, and we don't take it lightly. We know that there is a cost to discipleship, just as there was a cost to forgiveness. God, this Sunday morning as we head out into the world, we pray that you will emblazon upon our minds the recognition that the forgiveness that you have given us, while it may be free, it wasn't cheap. There was a price to be paid. And as we go about our lives and take our actions, interact with people, help us to fully recognize that what we say and what we do and all of our actions ought to be a reflection of the forgiveness that we have received freely. And we pray this now in your loving name. Amen.